Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 140 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm going to talk about gold making for about 20 minutes. Welcome back to the show. If you're following along live, make sure to post any questions you have in the chat, and I'll answer some of them at the end. If you're not, then be aware that you can do so at twitch.tv/lazygoldmaker on Wednesdays. The podcast is made available by my patrons that, amongst other things, can get early access to anything I post on thelazygoldmaker.com. So if you're interested in joining us, then do so at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And now we're going to go into the episode. 2 weeks ago, I talked about market efficiency, and today we're going to tackle something else that's related to economic theory. That I think is going to be interesting and helpful for some of you to be aware of. I really enjoyed that episode, and I thought I'd do some more episodes where we go into some of the theoretical models of, or some of the models from real world economics, and see how we can apply them to World of Warcraft. Today we'll be in the field of microeconomics. I'll be talking a little bit about something called complementary and substitution and substitute goods. Microeconomics, of course, focuses on the prices and the optimization of like a single product or a single item or a single thing, a single commodity. And it's where we have supply and demand curves, and where the general observation that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, that increased demand means higher price, or increase in supply will mean that the price is going down. I often talk about similar concepts. Microeconomics, of course, supports the idea that large undercuts can make sense if you want to increase your sale rate. Because if you cut the price, then you're going to get more sales, or there's going to be more people buying. In general, that's what you expect to happen, and that's what I've seen happen. But that's not the point of this episode. It's just an aside. I have to put that in whenever I can. Large undercuts are not necessarily bad. They might be bad, but they're not necessarily. But what we're going to focus on today is substitute goods and complementary goods. And these are maybe, some of you can maybe even already guess what this means. Substitute goods, they're items that fill a similar need. So you can conceivably substitute one for another. There are many, many obvious examples of this. An obvious one is from the real world is, of course, Pepsi and Coke. If Coke was suddenly two times as expensive as Pepsi, I think a lot more people would start drinking Pepsi. Even though many of you probably have like your taste, like I'm a Pepsi guy, I prefer that. If it's double the price, then maybe your taste buds are going to change. But the point here is that for substitute goods, for substitute items, there's a relationship between their price and demand. If one item goes up in price, then more people are going to buy a cheaper alternative if that exists. Now, we have to separate between what's called perfect substitutes, items that are commodities that fill the exact same role, and imperfect ones. Now, in WoW, we're mostly looking at imperfect substitutes, because in WoW, most items are unique. So if like the Bist gem is super expensive, then there's not going to be another Bist gem that's cheaper, because that's the one item that is the Bist gem. But there will be a lot of imperfect ones. And there are many, many examples. And the important thing to note is that if there are other items that can fill the same need for players, then you need to be aware of that when you're pricing your items. And you need to be aware of that. There's also some other things you can do to take advantage of it. An obvious example that's relevant right now is for those of you who are playing the Burning Crusade Classic. You have gems, tons of gems, and they're different. There are two rarities. You can have rare gems that have more stats, and then there's uncommon gems, and there's even some vendor gems that are potentially cheaper. Now, the rare gems and the uncommon gems of the same type, like if you're looking at the spell power gem, you can either get the +7 spell power that's uncommon, or the +9 that's rare. They are imperfect substitutes. If the rare gem is too expensive, then you're not going to bother buying that for, say, your previous gear. But if it suddenly got a lot cheaper, then you'd probably buy that and you'd stop buying the uncommon version. Because you wouldn't care about getting the cheap one, because the difference wouldn't be large enough to make it worth it. So people are going to buy, they're probably going to gem their items, but they're going to look at the price and they're going to consider what their item, is it worth investing this much in an item that I'll keep for an hour or that I'll keep for 1 week or 2 weeks? And they'll make a decision, and that decision is impacted by the price difference. So if rare gems get more expensive, then you should expect also that the uncommon version of those gems get more expensive. Because then that, or, and then that's going to also drive down the price of potentially of the rare gems, because less people will be buying. Okay, it's more expensive, I can't afford this, or I don't want to afford this, I don't prioritize those plus two extra spell power now as much, I'm instead gonna buy an uncommon gem and save some gold. And there's a lot of items where this dynamic happens. You can see this, of course, in retail WoW. You can an example would be the various DPS increasing potions. So like every class can use Phantom Fire, and then every class can also use the Spectral Agility, Spectral Intellect, Spectral whatever main stat potions. The Phantom Fire is generally slightly better single target. But if that one's a lot more expensive than the stat potions, then maybe that difference just isn't worth it. Of course, there's also situations where the stat potions are much better in AoE. If you're considering this from a single target, if you're like progressing a boss fight that is pure single target, then maybe you value the Phantom Fire, but you don't value it at that much more than the other, because you have substitutes, you have alternatives. You don't have to buy a Phantom Fire potion. You can buy a Spectral Int potion and maybe do slightly worse, but still be doing good enough damage. So if the price of Phantom Fire suddenly went up, then you'd stop buying Phantom Fire and you'd go to the Spectral Int potions as well. And this effect is going to make sure that for some items, the price difference can never really grow too big, because the moment it starts growing too big, then people just stop buying and they go to the substitute. This can also happen with crafted gear with random stats. So stuff like the Crafter's Mark 2 gear right now, Crafter's Mark 3 down the line. Some players might be willing to pay extra, or I know that some people are willing to pay extra for the correct secondaries, and then some people are not willing to pay extra. Some will just care about the item level. So if the difference is small, then more players will maybe pick the best stats. If it's big, then they're not going to do it because they have substitutes readily available. But this is why I like to keep every stat variant on the auction house and have separate pricing, because people are different in their preferences as well. Not everyone, people have different opinions or different preferences in terms of how well does this item piece with the wrong secondaries substitute for the one with the best secondaries. That's something that there's not one right answer to, because as I said earlier, these are all imperfect substitutes. They're none of them can cover the exact same need as the other one. So the way to take advantage of this is really just to have a broad selection of items for sale. Because even then if demand increases for something and that drives, or if price increases for something, maybe the supply goes down because people have stopped farming something, then the price goes up and more people consider the alternatives and you have the alternatives for sale as well. Of course, in the opposite direction, if the price of something goes down and then more people go buy that, then it's also nice to have that available. Even though you'll be making less money, at least you'll be making the sales. So then if you just have a lot of stock, then you'll always be able to take advantage of any demand shift. So anything that people are going to prefer to buy now, anything where demand is going to shift into that, you'll have that and you'll be ready. It's also just to be very important to be aware of this if you're planning to ever reset anything. If there exists a substitute, and there are many ways you can have substitutes that are not necessarily super obvious. If you're looking at old world materials, for instance, maybe there's a transmute for the item that you're trying to reset, and maybe that transmute is now super cheap and people will just do that and they'll still be able to undercut you. What was the other example I was thinking of? I don't know. Maybe there's another consumable, maybe there's another item that fills the same need, maybe there's another transmog item that looks the same as the transmog you're trying to reset. You need to be aware of if there are any other ways of getting what you're trying to reset, particularly when you're doing this, because otherwise you'll never set the right price. And you might think that it's cheap, but it's actually not cheap because there is an alternative way of getting it, or there's a substitute for buying the item directly. You don't necessarily have to buy a Trillium bar. if you have a Transmute Alchemist, then you can just buy Ghost Iron bars and turn them into Trillium bars. And if that's cheaper, then that's what you're going to do. So this is something you need to be aware of. Always think about, like, why are they buying this item? What do they want it for? Are there any other items that fill the same niche, that fill the same need, that they will consider if this one is too expensive? And if there are, then you realistically can't raise the price too much with a reset. But that's just something that should inform your pricing. So that's it for substitutes. The other thing I was going to talk about, and we're going to talk actually a little bit less about, are complementary goods. Because they're a little less, a little harder to take advantage of in WoW. The main way to take advantage of this is, of course, by having them. Complementary items are items that complement each other, which means that they are typically bought together. So what's going to happen then is, generally speaking, if one of them gets more expensive, then we'll see demand for the other one fall, because people will have less money to spend on the bundle. I'm not sure we see that effect so often in World of Warcraft, because generally speaking, if someone is buying something, you could see this with materials perhaps. So if say they're crafting a Vial of the Sands and suddenly Ashara's Veil is super expensive, they might buy all the other materials and then not buy the Ashara's Veil and go farm that. Or they might not craft the item altogether, and then they're not going to buy any of the materials from the auction house because they figure that it's not worth it with the current price of Ashara's Veil, and they're not farmers. That's what I would perhaps do, because I'm the lazy gold maker, right? I'm not the hardworking guy. So if one of the materials for a craft is super, super expensive and I can't craft it profitably right now, either I'd buy the rest of the materials and wait for the price to go down, or maybe I wouldn't buy any of the materials, and then the price of one item is going to impact the sale rate of a lot of other items. So some examples, obvious examples of complementary goods is the legendaries in Shadowlands and the missives. If you don't have a legendary yet, then you need a base legendary and you need two missives. So if bases are more expensive, then players have less gold to spend on missives. But in this case, like, this is absolute BIS gear that everyone feels they need to have. So everyone is still going to get legendaries, but they might be less inclined to get extra legendaries for their off-specs if the total package is too expensive. Suddenly, if legendaries are cheaper, then more people are going to craft extra legendaries, and we might see an increase in the sale rate and potentially even a slight increase in the price for missives. Another example is all the different type of consumables that you might bring to a raid night or M+. You have flasks, you have potions, you have buff foods. If one gets more expensive, then you might not be able to afford it and you stick to fewer of them. Maybe you don't bother buying augment runes. Maybe you don't feel the need to get the full package. You're still going to do the same amount of pulls though, so this isn't going to really change the behavior that much. I don't think there are too many ways to take advantage of this. The main way to take advantage of this is to think about what items do players buy together. Or if you're selling something, maybe someone will... What are they using it for? It's the same thing. Once again, with substitute goods, you need to know what people are using the items you're selling them for. Because then you can think about, okay, so they're buying flasks for me. They're probably going to use those in raids. They're probably going to use other consumables in raids. So maybe I can sell... Maybe I should craft some of the other consumables and see if they're profitable. For materials, this is definitely something you can take advantage of. If you know the main recipe for some materials, maybe 2-3 materials, then you can sell both of those materials in the correct stack size. So and then you'll be able to get more sales, or you'll be able to get more profit, because that's going to be the main way that people buy those items. So this is really something that's more be aware of the fact that people are going to buy specific items together, and there might be ways to take advantage of that, particularly on the classic auction house, where they're going to buy them together in specific stack sizes, and you can sell. As an example, I craft a lot of Bracers of Havoc at the moment, which is the best in slot caster bracer from Tailoring. It requires 4 each: Primal Earth, Primal Shadow. So if you're someone who farms those primals, then posting some of them in stacks of 4 might get you 5-10% extra on the price by selling to people crafting Bracers of Havoc, which is something that that every caster is going to want, and there are a lot of casters in TVC. So, once again, you just want to have a broad selection of items, and thinking about complementary goods is going to give you the ability to think about more different types of items. It's going to gift you as a way in to find new markets that are adjacent to the ones you're already in. This, I think, complementary goods is more important in real-world business applications. Because, say, you're managing a store, then it makes a lot of sense to think about what kind of products do people buy together and then keep those in stock and even have them in the same shelf, obviously, right? Or have them close by each other, or maybe, as some grocery stores do, they have them spread out. So, like, you have the milk in one corner and then you have the bread in the exact opposite corner, because people, they know that people almost always buy those two things when they're shopping, maybe. So then they'll have to go through the entire store and be exposed to all of the stuff that they have on the highly visible display shelves. But there's no things like that to take advantage of in World of Warcraft. But it is more of so it's more about thinking about what you can add to your repertoire as a gold maker. And you can't really do the kind of stuff that you would do in the real world with the complementary goods in World of Warcraft, sadly, because trading here is relatively simplified. So that was what I wanted to talk about with the main point. Now we're going to get some questions. I have one that I've taken from my Discord. If you're not on it, there should be a link in the description. You can get there and get your questions, and I answer them whenever I can. If you have, now is the time to get them in chat. I see we have one meme question already based on what I've been doing on stream today so far. But if you get anyone related to gold making, that's going to be nice. So the question I got, because I mentioned overcutting to one of my patrons on my Discord, and he was like, okay, what's overcutting? So this is something that's only relevant to the old auction house that you can find on TBC Classic. And overcutting is, well, it's posting for a higher price than the currently cheapest auction. And how? Why does that work? Well, it works because you're not posting in a small stack size. You're posting in the correct stack size based on how people want to consume this item. Because there's a lot of people who just post stacks of one of materials or consumables or whatever. But players are often willing to pay extra to save time. I know I am when I'm buying materials in bulk. As long as it's within my max prices, as long as I know that I'm still making a reasonable profit, then I'm happy paying 10% extra and saving a ton of time by getting stacks of 20 instead of stacks of 1. So if you sell in large, neat stack sizes, you do not have to be the cheapest one on the auction house to sell. So you can use this. I've done this like brainlessly in material flipping operations using Trade Skill Master. Because there's a setting in the auctioning operations called match stack size. Which if you click that, then it will only consider auctions of the exact same stack size when you're posting. And only undercutting auctions of the exact same stack size. So you can take advantage of that. You can also just look at the auction house. But once again, you need to be aware of what kind of item you're buying and selling. So say you're selling Wishing Dust, which people literally need about 280 of to level enchanting from 1 to 300. If there's 100 Vision Dust on the auction house in weird stack sizes between 30 and 50 silver per dust, and then there's a gap up to 70 silver, then you can post your Vision Dust in nice even stacks of 20 at 70 silver, and you're going to get sales most of the time because they need a lot of it. So knowing when you can do this really relies on knowing how many items at the time players typically buy and what they're using the items for. Can they afford to overpay by 20%? So if it's something that people is primarily bought by gold makers, then we might not be willing to overpay by 20%. But if it's something that's used to level trade skills in TBC that a lot of people feel the need to just power through, then maybe they're willing to overpay by 20%. Consumables, maybe they need just a stack. They need two flasks for Raid Knight. And they just want to save. People are willing to pay 10, 20% extra just for a stack of two instead of stacks of one. I did this all throughout Classic. I did this in Legion. I did this in BFA before they revamped the auction house. This is really the main way to make alchemy profitable on the old auction house, by just posting in all of the stack sizes available. And then you'll get a surprising amount of sales from people just willing to pay 20% extra to save on a couple of clicks on the auction house. So that's what it is. It works really well as long as people might be willing to save time, or it's something where they need a lot of items so that when someone comes buying, they might buy out like a whole swath of the auction house, and then suddenly your auctions are the cheapest. The cheaper the deposit cost, the better, because you might get more expires than you would if you wanted to undercut, but you're making a lot more profit per item and you can still get really good sale rates. I thought it was called lazy stacks because lazy people buy the big stacks. Yeah, they've been called a lot of different things throughout the years. Lazy stacking, neat stacking, overcutting. It's all the same principle. Sell items in the most convenient stack size possible, and you can get 10, 20, 30% extra per item. It works so well. It's one of the main reasons why I think gold making in Burning Crusade and the Classic is very easy compared to retail. Because you do not have to be a cancel scan god to make money. You can just overcut and get sales that way. It works so well. So that's it, guys. That's it for this episode. We did get a meme question. We can do it. What do you think about Plaguefall Heroic Grinders from Jayco? I did a lot of Plaguefall Heroic. I did a couple of Plaguefall Heroic runs to finish off my renowned grind. And there are some absolutely toxic people in there at the moment. I got kicked because I didn't want to skip the second boss because I needed it for my get back into the Necrolord Covenant campaign quest, which was sort of interesting. So we got the real one from Jayco as well. Which professions do you think will make the most gold in 9.1? I mean, this is not a hard question. It's going to be the legendaries, of course. It's going to be the legendaries. Exactly which one is going to be most profitable depends a little bit on what turns out to be like the absolute meta class, but jewel crafting is looking really good because rings and necklaces are not in the Shards of Domination slot. So we've already seen ore prices just absolutely explode. Jewel crafting, blacksmithing, leatherworking, tailoring, all of them. Tailoring should also be really good with access to capes that everyone can wear. That should see a huge demand due to the shards. So gonna be very exciting times for legendary crafters in 9.1, especially with all the recrafting going on unless Blizzard manages to change that. It's no kill, no gold, says in chat. There's 21 bis legendaries with that has jewel crafting as the preferred slot in 9.1, so that's going to be a lot of sales. Guys, that's it for me this week. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode. Leave a like or comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube. Or just come by the stream or the website if you're listening to the podcast. With a massive thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very profitable week. Goodbye, guys.